For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back live from Jets Camp here on SNY and WFAN. Evan and Tiki live here with the newest former, but again, current New York Jet, and that is Morgan Moses, who's back for snit number two. Morgan, thank you very much for coming on. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing great, man.
That good old song of Wahoo.
Hey,
we
man.
Sing it or...
I knew he was going to bring it out.
You know
man.
It. Hey, I can't not bring
you,
it up,
once
bro.
Once you bleed blue and orange, man, it's over with,
that's,
right?
That's for sure. You get back? You've been
for,
back recently?
For life, man. I went down for the spring practice this past year. It was awesome, man, just to see the guys rally and just, you know, they've been through a lot, and they finally got a coach that's putting their stamp on it, man.
Yeah.
So I feel it, man. Like, I feel it. I feel it.
For those that don't know what we're talking about, me and Morgan both are alumni of the University of Virginia.
The great University
of Virginia. The great University of Virginia, the Cavaliers, the Wahoos, whatever you want to call
it. Can I clarify for the audience? When we think of blue and orange in New York, we think of either the Knicks or the Mets. I mean, we're not thinking of Virginia.
No, true. I mean,
but that's y'all's fault. That's y'all's problem.
We could just add it in. There. We can add it in there.
Sure. What was your reaction to coming back here? You were traded after leaving to go to Baltimore. So when you get the phone call, or maybe you find out on Twitter, God knows these days, was that reaction?
Oh, man, I enjoyed it, man, because, like, the one thing that you can ask anybody, man, leaving here to go to Baltimore and then just talking to guys, like, I've always wanted to come back here. And the reason was is that I had a lot of unfinished business, you know. Like, 1 year stint here is not long enough to put your stamp on something. And, like, I've always lived by, like, you always want to leave the place that you go to better than what you found it. And I believed in the culture that, you know, I was here with Coach Salah his first year. So I believed in the culture. And I think I said this, like, one day on an interview. I was like, yo, winning is around the corner, you know.
Right.
And that following year, they went and got Sauce Garrett,
right.
You know, Brees and Jermaine Johnson, like some guys, bro, right? You know, like, and so, like, even being in Baltimore, you know, I love those guys out there, but I watched every game, you know, like that defense, dude.
Yeah.
That defense, man, like, it's phenomenal, but it's just a fresh breath of air being here, and just I'm glad to be with the guys.
He said, forget Lamar Jackson and going to the AFC Championship game. I want to do it in New York with the Jets. But you talk about coming back and, you know, it's better than when you left, and it's obviously because of the skill.
Yep.
Right? You talk about Brees and Garrett Wilson. There's some playmakers, like game changers on this offense, and obviously now Aaron is here when you're back. As you think about the expectation of this offense, we know where the defense is. We just talked to, you know, Solomon and Quincy. Like, what is the expectation for you guys offensively? Because there's some talent here.
Yeah, man, you look at, you know, what happened last year, and you say, hey, you know, you win seven games with probably arguably the worst offense in the league, right?
Yes.
And then you say, hey, like, this defense is a top three defense, right? So you get Aaron back. You got Garrett Wilson, who's phenomenal
right.
at what he does every day. You got Breece Hall, who's coming off, you know, another year of his ACL, looking, running the ball, like, I mean, right. flawless, you know? Like, and then you go get Tyron Smith. Then you got AVT, who can finally play one position and really just kind of dial in on that one position. And I had AVT when he was a rookie, so, like, I know the type of football player he can be and what he wants to be and what he brings to the table. And then you go get John Simpson, who I was in Baltimore with as well, and he had a phenomenal year the way he grew and manned that left guard position when we were in Baltimore. And so you look at all those pieces and you say, look, man, if we just put this thing together day by day and we come out here and get 1% better every day, we have opportunity to win win this thing.
Well, you look, obviously the quarterback got most of the attention on why the offense was as bad as it was last year, but you touched on it too. Like, the offensive line needs to be better, and this team made some great improvements, including yourself. When you look at this offensive line, one of my concerns that we all have is, well, how long does it take for them to gel? So you tell us. I mean, we're, I guess, halfway through training camp at this point. Where's the gelling at for this new-look offensive line?
I mean, it's phenomenal, man, because we got a lot of different personalities, but then we all got a lot of similarities. Like, I played with ABT as a rookie. Like, me and Tyron come from Coach Callahan's tree.
Yeah.
So we talk a lot of football off the field and on the field about how we should block these schemes and things, because we've been taught by the same guy. And then John, obviously, I played with John. And then Joe Tipp, man, he's a phenomenal center, man, phenomenal guy. And just the camaraderie we're building every day in the room, outside of the locker room, outside at the guys' houses, eating pizza and stuff like that. I mean, it's unmatched, man. It's definitely going to be a great group.
How is Tippmann snapping? I know that was a concern early on in camp, especially on some shotguns. Has that gotten better over the last couple of practices?
100%, man. We all have things to work on, and that's the 1%, right? You come out and work on one thing. You know, people get so frustrated about, like, going out to practice, and you got a million things in your mind that you want to work on, and it's that one little thing that slips, right?
Right.
And you just got to go back to the drawing board. Like, look, man, I'm not going to do anything spectacular today. I'm just going to work on one thing out there. And that's when you get in that routine of start building trust within yourself, trusting with your guys. And that's when that camaraderie of the offensive line takes off.
So I think it's one thing to be intellectually complete and put together, and I think you guys emotionally are that way as well, but physically, that's hard.
Yeah.
And it's harder now than it's ever been because you guys hardly practice, right?
So, man, you can speak for the other teams.
You know what I mean. You
practice out here, man.
You don't have 2-a-days, right?
Yeah,
you don't
100%.
You don't have, you know, 70 reps a week to get these things worked out. And so it almost depends on getting to the regular season or the preseason games before you can really start to put it together physically, real game action, real speed, when, you know, these defensive tackles and ends are running games and everything else. Where do you feel you guys as a veteran are at in that regard?
I think we're in a good spot, man, just because, like, we get challenged every day by the best D-line in the NFL. I mean, you talk about Kinlaw, Quincy, Quinnen, C.J. Mosley, Jermaine, Michael Clemens, Will McDonald, you know, Solly, you know, all those guys. Like, we push each other every day. Like, and the beautiful thing about it, we'll come off the practice field and we'll sit in the locker room and guys will just come up to one another. Hey, man, like, you got me with this move, man. Like, what can I do better? And when you share that knowledge in the locker room, that IQ raises, right? Because we're talking football, right? Like, it's one thing to go out there and do it, but if you're not talking about it as well, like, amongst each other, like, how can I sharpen my tool set against you? How can you sharpen your tool set against me? Then we're just gonna be static.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about it, that everybody's open, everybody's a great teammate, everybody can converse in the locker room about, like, my flaws, what things I need to get better. I think I told Solomon today, I was like, Solid, like, bro, my cutoff blocks got so much better, bro, because, dude, you're off the ball so fast, bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so when you have those conversations of, like, just talking about football, the IQ raises every day.
Right. So I know that, you know, this team is young, and there's some very young and good players that are under 25, 26 years old. But there's also some veterans here. Yourself, and you talk about Tyron on the left tackle, Aaron, Solly, etc. Do you guys feel the urgency that I think we all as media, and I'm talking collective media, those guys, us, national media, are talking about regarding winning here?
Yeah,
it's been
7-10,
7-10. You know, it's about time, right?
No, 100%. And I think, like, the beautiful thing about it, like, and I talked to Quinnen about this a couple of weeks ago, and because Quinnen, even though he's young, he's been here for a while, and he's been a part of a lot of the losing culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you got a mixture of young guys that are tired of losing, and then you got a mixture of older guys that haven't won it yet, like me and Tyron, like, you collab together and you have one mindset, and that's just to go out there every day to get better, to reach the goals. Like, obviously everybody wants to talk about Super Bowl, but guess what? You can't go to the Super Bowl unless you win the first game, win the division, win the playoffs. And so we got a lot of things that we got to take care of before we even reach those goals of thinking about the Super Bowl. And that's the veterans' jobs to reel all those younger guys in and say, hey, like, I know what the picture is, I know what the mindset of what we want to get to, but let's take care of business one step at a time. You know, you don't want to get to December and talk about, oh, man, we got to win this game to get in. No, you want to do that thing early. So, you know, so you got some time to get yourself together, man, because it's not about the best team winning the Super Bowl. It's the healthiest team.
That's right.
And so we got a lot of great leadership in there, in that room.
I want to talk in late December about resting guys because the playoff spot is wrapped up. That's the discussion I want to have. We're talking to Morgan Moses, right tackle, New York Jets. Olu Fashanu, I love the fact that they went early, young offensive lineman,
yes,
left tackle, but now he's working out at right tackle. What have you seen from Fashanu so far here in his rookie training camp?
He's a sponge. And when I say he's a sponge, man, everything that we talk about in meetings on the field, just between me, him, and Tyron, like, he soaks it in and he digests it and he goes out there and puts the work. And when you have a guy that's like that, that's willing to learn and put the ego aside, right? Because, like, now you got these guys coming in, they got a little bit of money in their pockets now, right?
And they were making money in college.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, like, but now, like, he's a guy, humble guy, man. I met his parents the other day, man. Humble family, comes from a great background, but, like, the dude just likes to work, man. Like, and he's not scared to ask questions. That's the thing. Right. Like, if you're a young rookie, a young guy, and you don't know how to get it done, shoot, I'm 11 years in, and I still ask tiring questions because I want to know, you know, like, because he's done it at a high level so much. And so when you have a guy that's willing to just say, hey, look, man, I don't know it, but can you teach me, show me what you think? And that way he can add those things to his tool belt. It might not look the same as Tyron, might not look the same as me, but if he has that mindset of like, hey, I can approach it this way, it all works out.
All right, you're making Tyron sound like the old head.
I am.
How does he look, Tyron? Like, that's the big question about it. Is he going to be healthy? How does he look to you?
Man, Tyron is like, man, he's a freak athlete, dude. Like, I mean, you see him walking around here 6'7" with a six pack, man. Like, he had the nerve today to tell me I had a dad bod. It's all good, man. You know, we all built different ways, but no, man, just like his technique, how technical sound he is, and like, we can relate to a lot of things because we came, like, I had Callahan, he had Callahan in Dallas, I had him in Washington, and so it's a lot of technique things that we can pick each other brains about on offensive schemes or whatever the case is, and that's the beauty of it. Like, I'm not too old to like say, hey, I know it all. Like, I want to learn too. So, right, like, if I get the chance to learn from a potential Hall of Famer, I'm going to ask those questions.
Yeah, I think, you know, Morgan, there's this narrative about this Jets team nationally, and you hear it, and it's, Evan likes to say this because he follows the Mets and the Jets. It's always like, LOL Mets, LOL Jets.
People like to laugh at the Jets.
It's just reality. But so you were here, you leave for a year, and you go to a highly successful Baltimore organization, and now you're back.
Yep.
What's the misconception that people don't know about this team internally as you see it now that you're back?
Dude, I think, like, especially for, you know, for me to leave to go to Baltimore, like you said, to a franchise that's done it well, right? Like, that was a learning step for me because I got to see it day in, day out, like, how to prepare as a winning team. And so now I get to bring that back here, you know, because when I came here the first time around, I came from Washington, so I didn't do that much winning. I didn't do that much winning myself. Right. So, like, I got to learn, like, and then, like, just like, bro, first of all, it starts with the head coach, Coach Sala. Guys will run through a wall for him. You know, there's not many head coaches out here where guys can say, like, dude, like, I will die on the field for this dude. You know what I'm saying? And then you got, you know, just the camaraderie of the whole team, like, what Aaron brings to the locker room, what Saul brings to the locker room, what Garrett, I mean, Garrett doesn't talk a lot, but you see his play every day out here, man. Like, there's not a day that goes by that he doesn't have a 50-yard touchdown.
Right.
You know, and just, like, the guys challenging each other every day and just, like, taking the coaching to the field, man. It's a wonderful thing, man. Like, this team is built for success. And, like, we can sit here and play the paper champ all we want. It's our jobs as veterans to get everybody on the same page and go out there and do it. Like, we can sit here and say, like, we got X, Y, and Z. We got these players. But as you know, because you played, the game is won between the lines.
Right.
January of 2011. That's the last time the Jets played a playoff game. That was a million years ago. It was Obama's first term. Tiki was still playing. I'm just kidding. He didn't already retire. Right? It was all. So for a lot of us as Jet fans, of course, the dream is a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Get us to January.
Yes.
That's the
key, man.
I don't think he's asking a question. I think he's telling.
Yeah, no, he's telling you.
As a ridiculous Jet fan and now a new season ticket holder
for
the
Jets.
Hey, he's telling you.
Hey, look, congratulations on the new season ticket holder. We appreciate that, trust me. But, like, it's just like for me, like, you know, me and Tyron talked about this before. Like, we didn't come here to lose, right?
Like,
I just played in the AFC Championship. Like, Right. I didn't come here to lose. Like, that's not my mindset. Like, my mindset is to come here and do better, you know, do better than I did last year. And we have the pieces to do that. We just got to go out there and put it on the field every day. And it's not about taking 20% jumps, 30% jumps. If we can get 1% better every day in just one thing that we do, whether it's the run game, the pass game, picking up blitzes, third down, whatever the case is, if we can get better every day about that, then we're on our way.
Well, Morgan, get it done. Stay healthy. Welcome back to New Jersey, New York. Yeah, thank you very much for coming on.
And wahoo wah.
Wahoo wah, brother. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Wahoo wah. You can't say that. Whatever that means. Morgan Moses, the New York Jets. We got more coming up on SNY and WFN live from Jets Camp. How we all doing on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon in New York City, or in our case, Florham Park, New Jersey? We are live from the Atlantic Health Jets Training Center. Well, Sean just remarked that he thinks I'm going to drop dead pretty soon because the heat is getting to me.
That was heavy breathing.
It is warm, though, right now.
Thank you,
Very
Tiki.
Very warm right now.
I'm one of those guys where if it passes 85, you're dead to me, you know?
Yeah, look, I would say that I wouldn't call myself a pillar of health. Tiki clearly is. Neither of us are breathing like that. You were wheezing into that microphone.
I'm telling you, man, this season called the summer is my arch nemesis. I don't like it. I hate it. I don't like the heat. I don't like the sun. Like, give me I would take winter over summer. I know that's not a popular opinion, but it's honestly how I feel. But this summer is hot. And you know that this summer's hottest lineup isn't at a music festival? It's at Dunkin', because Dunkin' is serving up some iconic ice-cold drinks that'll turn your summer fun up to 10,000 degrees. Headlining this lineup is the Dunkin' Iced Coffee. The refreshing trio of Dunkin' Refresher flavors are also featured, including new Kiwi Watermelon. And the new Sparked Energy drink is debuting in a fizzy spectacle of vitamins, minerals, and caffeine. Dunkin' has the cold bevy lineup that'll keep America running all summer long. Drop by or order ahead on the Dunkin' app. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply. Order ahead on the Dunkin' app.
And Fanatics Fest NYC is taking over the Javits Center from August 16th through August 18th. Right now, be caller number 3 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets and be part of the first ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. From our friends at Fanatics Live, visit FanaticsFest.com for the full athletic lineup.
And we will be out there on Friday. For all the Giant fans out there, don't be jealous. We know the Jets have gotten a lot of attention today. Next Tuesday, we'll be at Giant Camp. And before we continue with your Cinco de Five, I do want to say thank you to SNY. They've done a great job today. Thank you, fellas. Thank you to the great Steve Aprea, who always does a fantastic job putting
thank
this together.
Aprea.
And I think, have you been here all day, Steve, like since 5 a.m.?
4
a.m. Oh, my
4
God.
4 a.m. He beat Rodgers in the building.
I hope they pay you handsomely, Steve. But you're the best, and we do appreciate it. But right now, you've been waiting all day for it. A very special live from Florham Park. A little bit late. Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
And I'm reminded I am banned from Giant Camp next week. That should be fun.
That is true. Yeah, no Sean Morash. He is serving his penalty for crimes against sports manity.
That would be taking himself off of social media, i.e. Twitter. Or X, whatever the heck you want to call it now, after the Rangers got eliminated.
That's right. And his punishment was he can't go to Giant Camp, but he has to come to Jets Camp.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for the pineapple cupcake. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. So a year ago, Tiki, we're not here. It's Evan, Joe, and myself, and I gave the 5 games Beninga will lose his mind if the Jets lose.
Okay.
I went back and looked. The Jets lost 4 of the 5 I gave.
Really?
The only one they won was the Giant game.
Yeah, you're right. That was okay. I remember you picking
and
that
they
one.
Could have easily and probably should have lost that one, too.
Exactly.
Should have, could have, would have. They didn't.
I'm sorry, they won 2. They won the Bill opener. But here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Okay, number 5 in the games Beninga will lose his mind on if they lose. Week 13, the Jets host the Seattle Seahawks.
Geno.
Geno coming back to MetLife and beating Aaron Rodgers and the Jets is a Beningo yelling for Terry to fix the remote because it broke.
Yeah, so, look, I think anytime you lose a Jet game, Joe will lose his mind. That's the beauty of my man. It's the beauty of all of us as Jet fans, but especially him. We will get pissed off. So I'm not going to tell you that losing a game in December won't be a big deal, but I can only speak for myself on this. I'm kind of over Geno Smith.
Like, it doesn't bother me that he's put together a nice NFL career. I think there are other guys like Zach Wilson, who sucks, so I got nothing to worry about, or Sam Darnold.
Who you might see in week five.
Fair, who would bother me more. I'm owner over Geno Smith. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but they have a pretty decent team in Seattle, and they have a new head coach.
And the time of year. Week 13, that main game could be very, hope it's very meaningful.
Yeah, you're right.
The game would drive me nuts because they lost it. It would not be because of the quarterback.
Okay, here we go.
Number four.
Number four is the final week of the year, week 18 versus the Dolphins. Now, I cannot put this at number one because there's still a chance nothing's on the line and the Jets have everything sewed up by then.
It's a good point.
But could you imagine the division title on the line or just a playoff spot being on the line and you're at home versus Miami and you lose the game?
I got bad memories of it. End of the 2008 season, the Brett Favre year, final week of the year, the old Giants Stadium, Jets against the Dolphins. I went with a Dolphin fan who literally dressed as a Dolphin. Like,
fin and everything?
A legitimate Dolphin.
Bottlenose?
Fin, bottlenose, everything.
Did he have his feet free, or was he hopping around?
I think he was hopping around.
Wow.
Yeah, what an idiot I was to even go to the game with him.
Wow, okay, here we go.
Number three.
Week six at home versus the Bills. It'll be a primetime game. The Bills, a little, we think, less talented than last year. Look, they beat the Buffalo Bills at home in week one. Week six in primetime, off of what should be a soft schedule to start, you got to beat the Bills in that
big
spot.
Big game at home. They've played very well against Josh Allen. Tiki's made the point that sometimes Josh is like, screw it, it's the Jets.
Yeah, I own you guys. I can do whatever I want, including making dumb passes and get away with it. Week one, he did not. The second game, he kind of did.
Yeah, no, you're right.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
Number two on games Beninga will lose his mind if the Jets lose. How about week eight at the Patriots? I bring this up because obviously it's the Patriots. It's in New England. The Patriots stink. But also, this is the weekend before Halloween where the Jets will play a Thursday night game. A little peek ahead at the Texans. Foot off the gas. You lose to the Patriots in New England. Joe loses his mind.
So you're saying hot start, maybe you're whatever. Yeah. Week eight is this, or you're say you're 5-2.
Right. And you can't, to me, you
and
cannot
you're looking
lose
ahead
Patriots
to
game.
C.J. Stroud and this upstart Houston squad, and you lose to the Patriots.
Yep.
You have a rookie head coach and maybe a rookie quarterback at that point.
Maybe Drake May's first ever win.
Yeah.
I'm going to no comment until I hear number one.
All right, here we go. Number one is week three Thursday night football at home versus the Patriots.
That's why no commented.
You cannot set the tone early in the year with this Jet team losing to that garbage Patriot team. Both Patriot games are 2-1. Joe will lose his mind. And frankly, I think every Jet fan would. This is the year, even if you go 8-9, you sweep the Pats this year.
I am proud of myself for showing restraint. Because when you brought up...
I actually am, too.
Are you?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I am, too.
Because when you brought up week eight in New England, I was like, he's right. He's sort of right. Yeah, well, right. Anytime you lose to the Patriots. But the number one game, and obviously we don't know what's on the line in week 18 or week 17 against Buffalo. The hope is, yeah, those games are going to be for the division or for the number one seed, something like that. But the third week of the season, where the odds are the Jets are 1-1, if we're being fair, going to San Francisco is not going to be easy on Monday night. At Tennessee week two, certainly a more winnable game, a game the Jets will be favored in. But I think if we're just being fair, the odds are telling us the Jets are 1-1 going into the home opener against the crappy, garbage, filthy New England Patriots.
Yeah.
It's also, and I admit this is very selfish, my first home game as a season ticket holder.
That's right.
Wow.
You'll go crazy if they lose that game. Joe Beningo.
I mean,
from the 50-yard line in the third deck, Evan Roberts losing his mind.
Yeah. Put it this way. If the Jets lose to the Patriots week three, Thursday night football, the home opener, my debut as a season ticket holder, I may just have to give up the tickets. Like, it may just be this isn't going to work. I can't jinx my franchise any more than it's been jinxed. I'm out. And I'm just going to hand them to fellow Jet fans the rest of the season. How bad that loss would be. Now, I admit, I'm full of crap, okay? I'm not giving up the tickets. But that's how damaging a loss like that would be.
Could they lose week three? They just may.
Oh, stop.
Shut up.
This is Drake, man.
Oh, that was a good one, though.
Is Drake May even going to be the starter for New England? Is it going to be Jacoby Brissett?
It is going to be Jacoby Brissett. By week three,
you
it
never
could
know.
Be Drake May.
You never know.
There's the Cinco de 5-0. Usually it's around 5 o'clock, but today's been a little off kilter. Now, we do have an update on the Yankee lineup. They're taking on the White Sox later tonight, trying to really cleanse the palate after that horrifically embarrassing loss last night. And the big question about this lineup was the health of Jazz Chisholm. If you watched last night's game, he got hurt on a run he created slotting into home plate. It doesn't appear like it's a serious injury, but we do have the answer on if he's in the lineup tonight.
The Yankees starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. All right, leading off for the Yankees tonight in left field is Alex Verdugo. Batting second in right field is Juan Soto. Batting third in center is Aaron Judge. Cleaning up tonight is Austin Wells behind the plate. Batting fifth, your DH, Giancarlo Stanton. Batting sixth tonight, your first baseman, Ben Rice. Batting seventh is Gleyber Torres at second. Batting eighth, the third baseman is Oswaldo Cabrera. And batting ninth, Anthony Volpe at short with Nestor Cortez on the mound. So no Jazz Chisholm today.
Yeah, it sucks, man. The guy's been great since he's come here. He's been electric. He's been a spark. So far, he's blossoming into the superstar that I think he always had the potential to be. And your hope right now, if you're a Yankee fan, is this is temporary. This is only a day. But here's the other thing. Whether Jazz Chisholm is in the lineup or not, you got to kick the White Sox butts tonight.
Right. You got to make Yankee fans forget about yesterday. And the only way to do that is to have a big win today. Now, it's challenging, and we talked about this earlier. And if you missed it, just rewind on the Odyssey app.
That's right.
About Nestor being on the mound. And Nestor has been nothing but inconsistent for a lot of this season, especially the last few starts. And so it's you want to be optimistic because the lineup is so good, or at least you think it is, with Soto and Judge. But the pitching is where this team isn't getting in trouble when they're getting, you know, beat on a regular basis. It's been the pitching that's been the biggest issue.
No doubt. And Nestor Cortez has been that big issue, and he needs to clean it up. Now, I read something very briefly because we are at Jet Camp. So one of the tough things is tough to sit there and read articles as they come out in the middle of this show. But I read something very briefly from Ken Rosenthal that I think would be very interesting for Yankee fans and Met fans and can be very impactful. And we'll get to the Mets in a minute as well. Their big series beginning tonight. So with the new trade deadline rules, and I guess it's not that new anymore, but there's only one trade deadline. There used to be a time, Teak, where July 31st and then until August 31st, you can make trades, but guys need to clear waivers. They got rid of that. There's only one trade deadline. It's July 31st. So the new thing teams are doing is if a team falls out of it, between July 31st and, let's say, the middle of August, like now, in order to save money, they'll take players and just put them on waivers.
Yes.
And basically say...
And then you can find someone basically on the cheap.
Right. Well, you're paying a sixth of their salary, so the team that puts the guy on waivers, if someone claims them, they save a couple of dollars. They don't get anything in return, but they save money, which, hey, bottom line, end of a season, team's not going anywhere, that matters. The team, on the other hand, if they win the claim... All they're giving up is money. That's all they're giving up.
Sorry. I got to give a hug to my guy.
This is unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Tiki really does like Nate Hackett.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You guys think I'm lying.
Nate Hackett has come over and has given Tiki a giant hug. You coming on the air with us?
Hey.
Are you not allowed?
I don't know.
How's it going? How you doing, man?
What's nice up, Nate? How are you?
Wow, you really do love him.
Dude, he's my
that
man.
Was like, that wasn't just a hug.
That was a real hug.
Look at him again.
This is my guy.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought I was lying.
Nate,
30 points a day this year. 30 points a game. I don't want any crap. And give Breece Hall the football. A little too much and getting away from him last year. I know. There's a lot of guys.
There's too many guys to get the ball. That's what he said.
I understand.
Are you staying? Are you here? When are you leaving?
This is a full candid conversation.
Is this a private conversation or a public conversation? Does Nate know about the song that we made for him?
Oh, probably
yes,
not. And don't do that to
him. I sent Nate the song.
What do you think of it?
Oh, no.
It's his favorite song ever. He loves it.
Nate and Tiki. I don't think we have the song. Rosie, do you have access to that song very quickly or not really?
Tiki, you sent Nate that song?
Of course I sent Nate that song.
He already had to serve a year with Zach Wilson. You need that.
Here it is. Like brothers, living life with no pump it up, Rosie. They share the bond of trust and respect. Through thick and thin, they always connect. The critter on to the late-night chats. The friendship stronger than steel bats. Get it.
We killed a bottle of whiskey in the late-night chat. Move so swift on the football field. It's truly a pick. Nate
Hackett, the mastermind of the place. Oh, a very good-smelling man, too.
Yeah, he smells good.
You would think a full day out, you know?
No, you would think he'd
be
sweating.
He showered.
He's also wearing, like, a sweatshirt. It's 115 degrees.
You know, I bet it's cold inside.
I never understood that.
Yeah.
Every year at training camps, you see these guys out here in sweatshirts and sweatpants.
Right.
It's
you're
900
right.
degrees.
Well, you also got to think, and because I remember this from my playing days, coaches sometimes don't have time to work out. Because their day starts so early in the morning. So they're out here. It's 90-something degrees. You throw a sweatshirt on. You burn some extra calories. I'm just telling you. I think that's honestly what it is.
Wow. That's an interesting idea.
Glad to see Nate coming up.
Good to say. What I was trying to say before Nate interrupted was, so teams, if they're giving up, can place players on waivers. And if a team claims them, they save money.
Right.
So that's the thinking on both sides of it. I think Ken Rosenthal is reporting that the Texas Rangers are one of those teams that's now considering, you know what, it's not happening. We have some pieces, and there are some really interesting waiver pieces. And I'm going to throw some names at you, and I'm sure every Yankee fan and Met fan would raise their hand and say, gimme, gimme, gimme. Number one is David Robertson.
Mm.
I mean, start right there.
Yeah. No, he's 39 years old, but still, he's got some value.
And both teams could use bullpen help.
Without a doubt.
And you know what? Let's acquire him within this week. This way he could show up at Old Timers Day with the rest of the 09.
That's a good point. The other guy.
That's kind of crazy when you think about it.
That is kind of crazy. The other guy's Nate Eovaldi. I mean, Nate Eovaldi, who's a free agent at the end of the season. Again, it would be a cost savings move. And I would find it almost impossible to think a team wouldn't pick up Nate Eovaldi when, again, all you've got to do is win your waiver claim. The Yankees would have an edge on the Mets because the way it works is it goes reverse order of record, but it goes by league. So because the Rangers are obviously an American League team, the Yankees would get to pick ahead of the Mets.
Yeah.
So if, like, Nate Eovaldi's not coming to the Mets only because I think someone would claim him before he got to the New York Mets. So that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. Like, there is a way for both the Mets and the Yankees to improve their roster. And my God, if Nate Eovaldi was claimed by the Yankees, wouldn't even be a question he's in the rotation.
Put you on a spot. If he gets claimed by the Yankees, who has a better September, October? Which Nate? Nate Hackett or Nate Eovaldi?
Nate Eovaldi.
I see how you're thinking.
I still go Hackett.
You're a hater.
I'm picking Hackett. He's my guy.
It's all Hackett.
I'm not a hater. I'm just giving an honest answer.
Yeah, look, I'm going through this now, Evan. There's a lot of teams that are just releasing guys. Now, maybe some of these guys haven't had great seasons, like Zach Plesac and some others, but it's all happening right now.
Ahmed Rosario, so what you're seeing is like the second wave of the trade deadline. It's kind of a newer phenomenon in baseball. And so both of the teams in town could certainly use a player or two. Now, let me get to the Mets real quick, because I think this is very, very important before we start this three-game series against the Oakland Athletics. I understand that the Oakland A's are a team that is 19 games above 500, and the Mets need to beat them. I think we all understand that the Mets need to bounce back. I talk about cleansing the Yankees after losing to Chicago. The Mets need to cleanse after the whitewash against the Mariners. But please keep this in mind about the Oakland Athletics. Since June 30th, which I think is a pretty good amount of time, like that's a month and a half, the Oakland A's have a better record than the New York Mets. They do.
Wow.
The Oakland A's are 20-13.
That's interesting. I don't know if it's an indictment on the Mets or it's more of a testament to the
The Athletics.
No, it's all about the Athletics because the Mets have not been bad. The Mets are 21-17, which I think we'd all say is a fine record and indicative of who they are. It's that the A's very quietly, and I am not saying this to build in an excuse, because bottom line is the Mets have to win 2 out of 3. I don't give a crap what they've done since June 30th. Yeah. I just want to remind Met fans that the A's are not this pushover that maybe you think they are because they've played good baseball for a month and a half. That's my point.
And playing basically the last 6 weeks they'll ever play in the city of Oakland, so they have a little extra oomph for them, a little goodbye.
You think they give a crap about that?
I'm trying to find something to positive.
Well, the question is, do the fans care about this? Right? And are they giving a last send off? Like, is attendance ticked up by, I don't know, 10% because they're playing relatively away? The answer is no. So the answer to the question is they don't care about that. I think it's just baseball. Well, at some point, even the bad teams, they play well for a stretch.
The A's are a team you should beat, no question about it. They are not a pushover. They are not maybe the team we thought they were, certainly last year, and certainly over the first few months this season. They have not been a bad baseball team for a month and a half. So this isn't going to be easy. I mean, it's not. And right now, the Mets are still without Mark Vientos. Their lineup came out, and Vientos, and I haven't heard any update on his ankle, whether it's really bad news and he's going on the IL, or don't worry, he'll be back tomorrow. All I know is he's not in the lineup tonight. And so, Lugie knows what?
About Vientos, Mendy said today that Mark may be able to pinch hit tonight. He's feeling better. Hopefully, he's in the lineup tomorrow.
That's good news.
Yeah.
All right, good. So that's still a day-to-day situation. It doesn't look like we're looking at the IL for Vientos, but the off day and then the game tonight was not enough time for Vientos to play, but he would be available as a pinch hitter. Okay, fine. So that's relatively positive news that he may not be out for, you know, an extended period of time. But this isn't going to be easy, but this is very important. Because now the Mets, and I said this to you a few weeks ago, I said, guys, it's okay for the Mets to tread water for a while.
Yeah.
They had their hot streak, and now it's tread water time.
Right, but not sink below 500. Tread water could be right around the 500 area number. You need to be a little to maintain your pace a little bit.
Well, that's the thing. They treaded the water for a considerable amount of time. They had a 4-6 West Coast trip. They have played relatively good baseball. They won the 2 out of 3 against Minnesota. They had the split against Atlanta. So it hasn't been great, but they've treaded the water. They've maintained. I'm okay with that. Now is the time. This homestand that begins tonight, we are done with treading water.
Now you got to make a push.
Now you need to make your push in these 9 games against Oakland, against Miami, and against Baltimore. Anything short of winning 6 out of these 9 games would be a disappointment. Is that, could we, positive Tommy, would you at least agree with that? If they don't go 6-3, this homestand,
I mean, you're making it sound like Baltimore is a pushover.
I didn't say, well, you know what? They've been mediocre for a month and a half.
Yeah, of course they have, but they're still just like the Yankees, if we keep maligning after bad losses like last night. They're still sitting atop the AL East.
You're at home, win 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Am I really asking too much?
No, you're not, but the Orioles are a good team.
And the A's have been a good team for a month and a half. I'm still saying go win 2 out of 3 against them.
We all will be yelling on Monday, let's go Mets.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt about that.
I'm sorry, can you say that clear?
Let's go Mets.
What?
Let's go Mets.
What?
Let's go Mets. You heard that, Lugie?
I love that. No, because I do the same thing when a team can help me. The Orioles are in a pushover, Teak. Overall, these 9 games, I don't even care how you get there. Obviously, going 6-0 and then losing your last 3, probably not ideal.
No. But you would take it.
But I take it. I mean, as he's sitting here now.
You would take a getting swept by, who was the last one?
Baltimore.
You would take getting swept if you swept it the 2 previous.
Boy, that's an ultimate piss me off moment.
I mean, seriously.
Sit straight and get swept by Baltimore, and Evan comes on the air and goes,
by the way,
hey, 6-3.
And by the way, it'd be sweeps on either side, right? Because you get swept by the Mariners, you just went to sweep two, and then you get swept by the Orioles.
As I sit here right now.
You take it. You would take it.
Vocalizing, they got to go 6-3.
Because think about how good you would feel for those 6 games in the middle.
Yeah, but then I'd feel terrible going on a West Coast trip again by losing 3 straight to the Orioles.
No, you'd say, like, it's the Orioles. They're better.
See, here's a funny thing.
It should be good.
Here's a funny thing. Tommy, I got 2 questions for you.
Go ahead.
Question number 1. Mm-hmm. Would you agree they got to go 6-3? Anything short, you're disappointed.
I would say when they go 6-3, I will be pumped up.
if they don't go 6-3 and they go 5-4 or 4-5, you would admit massive disappointment.
Correct? I would not admit that at all. No, I would not.
How could you not admit that?
What if they swept the Orioles and went 5-4? And
I'd be pissed off that they didn't beat Oakland or Miami.
No, like, you would not.
Yes, I would this week.
No, you wouldn't, because it would be recency bias. They would have just swept the Orioles. You'd be pumped up and excited. So it's just like the Seattle thing. Everybody was upset because it happened at the end of the road trip. The movie was good. The ending sucked.
No, that's not true, because they went 4-6, which was not good.
But they beat the Cardinals on that pit stop pier tier, and they won 2 out of 3. Okay, they won 2 out of 3 with Colorado. And what happened in Anaheim wasn't even that bad, because the Angels ended up splitting with the Yankees.
It was bad. They went under 500 on the road.
Like, it was a good road trip.
Don't parse it. It was not a good road trip. Forget that. We disagree. You're wrong. I want to look ahead. I just want everybody on the record here. If they don't go 6-3, you'll be disappointed. You're telling me you won't be.
It seems like you're just putting words in my mouth.
Positive
Tommy will have a statement on it. No, you're asking me to speculate.
It's not about being positive. It's asking what is acceptable or not. I am telling you, just me personally, anything short of 6-3, I'd be very disappointed.
What if the Braves, you know, lose every single game and the Mets are, you know, up 3 on them? It's all about the wild card spot.
I'd still
spot.
Be disappointed. And here's the problem with that, with what you're saying. Because that's the attitude one could have after the West Coast trip. Like, hey, the Mets didn't even lose ground because the Braves were strong.
But that's backing your way in.
Well, it's also not taking advantage of the current situation. Like, the Braves are going to get better. They won last night against the Giants, 1-0. And if I had to guess, or mark me on this, the Braves are going to find a way to win 90 games. Like, I don't think they're just going to suck and that's going to be it. So I can't look at it in this moment and say, well, the Braves lost, so it's okay. Like, if the Braves lose tonight to the Giants, but the Mets lose to Oakland, really, we're going to come in here tomorrow and say, no big deal, the Braves lost?
Yeah.
That's a bunch of crap.
No, it's not. It doesn't feel good that way. It's not. You don't want to back your way into success.
Well,
and that's basically what you're doing.
I don't care how they get to the wild card. I'm just saying I don't think it'll be good enough.
Yeah, I'm talking about in the short term. I'm talking about right now. The last thing you want to do is back your way into success.
They got to win 6 out of 9. I can't believe you don't agree with me. That shows that you're really not positive, Tommy, or negative, Tommy.
No, I am positive, Tommy. And as the great philosopher Juvenile said, back that ass up. If they have to back their ass up into the postseason, I don't care.
I agree with that, too, by the way. Like, I don't care how they get there. I'm just saying, that's not acceptable on this homestand. And the truth is, I know that baseball is weird. Like, it doesn't make sense sometimes. If they don't go better than 6-3, it's tough to imagine that they're going to go to Arizona and San Diego and have great success there. Like, to me, it would be a sign of more bad things to come. So I think this is a very important stretch against Oakland, a team that's played well over a month and a half, but still a team you're better than, against Miami, a team they have just done a terrible job against this year. They haven't done well enough against them. And then obviously an Oriole team that's very, very average. But my last question for Tommy was, how much would you love to see the Mets go 6-3 but lose all 3 to Baltimore because it sticks it to the Yankees?
You know, it's funny. I'm sitting there last night, and I thought the same thing. I was like, win every single game. Bow, bend the knee to the Orioles, stick it to the Yankees, and I would be a happy man. But I'm a sick maniac when it comes to that stuff. But to me, if they were going to go 6-3, Ev, I would prefer them to lose every single game to the Orioles. I'm not in the business of doing favors. Marash, you know, let's go Mets. He doesn't really mean it. I'm not going to say let's go Yankees at any point. So, yeah, lose every game to the Orioles and sweep the Marlins, sweep the A's.
I think he does mean it, because I mean that. Like, I want what's best for my team. So when the Yankees are playing a team that, you know, losing benefits the Mets, I'm going to root for the Yankees.
Doesn't make you a Met fan.
No. I you guys can call me. I don't hate the Mets. I laugh at the Mets. I don't hate the Mets.
Well, that's not true. You do hate the Mets.
No, I really don't. I laugh at, like, the LOL Mets stuff. I do enjoy
when they met, it makes you feel like,
I left,
entertained a little
bit. But I don't actively hate and root against them.
Yeah.
When they met.
Yeah. Isn't it a verb? Didn't you make it a verb last year?
I'm sure it's been a verb many, many times.
I'm a fat moron.
But it is a very important 9-game stretch for this team. The West Coast trip was a stub-the-toe moment. They could not hit, especially in those 3 games in Seattle. And they've got to break through with these games against the Oakland A's. Oakland, Miami, and then Baltimore over these 9 games. By the way, I was looking ahead at the Yankee schedule. They don't really have one of those series left that really benefits the Mets. Like, the only National League teams they're playing, Colorado, doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
Washington, doesn't matter.
I mean, Labor Day weekend.
St. Louis could matter.
Yeah, it's Labor Day weekend.
No question. And the Cubs could matter, and they end the season against the Pirates. So it's a bunch of wild card teams that, at least as of this moment, are not right there in the National League wild
card. Yeah, but true. They're kind of peered to the Mets, and some, at least they were a couple of weeks ago. So you never know what can happen in the next couple of weeks.
And if the Cardinals sweep them, by the way, then it will matter for them.
Yeah.
What was that?
If the Cardinals swept the Yankees, it would matter for them.
No,
Mets.
No, yeah,
you know
things
I mean?
Can change very, very quickly at the bottom of this NL wild card. Like, the Giants have kind of crawled back into it despite last night. Obviously, Chicago's still sort of right there. That's why you got to win. Like, there isn't – you're not in the space where you can back in, like you said. Like, you've got to win games because that's what's going to get you into the postseason. And honestly, I have started to think that the new number – that they're going to have to get to make the playoffs is higher than I thought a month ago. I'm starting to think that number's 90. And that's not a number we would have predicted. Now, I know that varies sometimes based on the way teams are playing, but Arizona and San Diego have taken off into a way in which I think their pace now, Teak, is to win 92, 93 games. And I still don't like burying Atlanta the way some Met fans do. Like, I'm enjoying the fact they're struggling, but the idea that the Braves are just going to limp their way to 83 wins, I don't see it happening.
No, and they're too good of an organization. And they'll some of those moves that you were alluding to, you know that they're going to make some of those moves. Now, there's no reinforcements coming. There's nobody coming off the IL that's going to save them all of a sudden. These guys are done for the season, so they're kind of having to reinvent themselves. But do you doubt that they're going to do it in some capacity? I think the answer is yes. So if you're the Mets, you can't afford to lose the games that you're not supposed to win.
Because to me, they got to get, and you guys can do the math at home. Maybe I'll do it on the Rico this week. They got to get to 90. That's the magic number. Like, I'm starting
to
believe
29 or 19 more wins.
19 more wins and how many more losses? That's definitely more than 19. They're not.
No, 29. 29 more wins.
29. So what would they have to do to get to 90 and 72? Do the math, Teak. He's like a calculator.
90
over there.
And 72 would be 29 and 15.
Yeah.
Oh, that ain't
and that's
happening.
A lot.
That ain't
that's
think
that's
about
fine.
That. 29 and 15.
Yeah, that's.
That's to get to 90 wins. Now, you guys can disagree and say 90's not the number.
Yeah.
It's going to be 85 or 86. I'm just telling you right now.
You think three teams are getting a 90 in that wild card?
Yes. Oof. I kind of think that.
It's tough for me to imagine the Mets going 29 or 15.
Now every Met fan is going through the remaining schedule and saying, all right, let me count up these victories.
And by the way.
And you're probably not going to get there.
And if you get to 26 and 18, which is a pretty solid record, that's 87 wins.
That might do it.
That might do it. I'm just guessing, right? Look, we don't know. I mean, the truth is we were sitting here in May, and I was like, my God, there may be an under 500 team in the playoffs. So it varies based on the way a lot of these teams are playing. But that, to me, is the number I think they're going to have to get to, and that's why Oakland, Baltimore, and Miami, the Marlins are in the middle, are so important. Again, I want to thank SNY for hanging out here for the 4 hours. You can stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York. It's presented by Tri-State Cadillac. It's coming up next on SNY. It's been a fun day with the Jets. If you've missed any of the interviews, you can always hit the rewind button on the Odyssey app. You can also rewind to about 3 o'clock. Brian Costello gave us an update on what the hell's going on with Hassan Reddick. And a little bit after that, if you rewind to 3:30, Sean Morash made the case that last night's Yankee loss was actually the most embarrassing loss in his lifetime. Which leads me to a follow-up question, Teak.
Mm-hmm.
What if they lost tonight?
How bad?
I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
You know, it does, because that would play into it.
No, because they would have lost now the series to the White Sox, who are going to be one of the worst teams in baseball history.
If they lost tonight, it would at least rival the 2004 collapse for the most embarrassing series loss of my life.
Rival the 2004 collapse. By the way, I do want to mention this, and I did not catch this, so I can't lie to the audience and say I caught it. But we had Breece Hall on earlier. In fact, you'll be able to listen to him coming up in a couple of minutes. And as part of talking to Breece Hall, I took out this beautiful blown-up picture of Tiki Barber in a Breece Hall jersey, which happened a few weeks ago, and Breece signed it to Tiki. It was a great moment.
It will be hanging in our studio.
It will. We're going to hang it tomorrow right next to the A-Rod banner. I didn't realize something amazing about Breece Hall. It was called to my attention by a few listeners. Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay. On this day, a day in which we honor a certain group of people in our society, I'm one of these groups of people. I'm in the group of people. Breece Hall is a fellow member of this group. It's a very exclusive group. You're not in it.
The Coalition?
You're not in it. The Coalition? Not that group.
Ah.
Breece Hall is a lefty.
Oh.
And he signed it with that beautiful left hand. Today is National wow. Left-Handedness Day. And I had no idea. Like, I know Jalen Brunson's a lefty, and that's kind of why I have a soft spot for him, despite him being an evil member of the New York Knicks. I didn't had no idea Breece Hall was a lefty.
I don't think I knew that either. How would we know that?
No.
I've never seen him write.
Good to be noticed by everybody watching on SNY. There's one more house cleaning thing we need to do on an interview.
What's that?
I need you to apologize, Evan.
What I do?
You need to apologize to the audience for being a fraud.
I apologize for being a fraud. Why am I a fraud?
Well, when Morgan Moses was up here and he talked about the blue and orange and him and Tiki were having a good
The Islanders too?
You excluded the Islanders. Yeah. You said when people missed out on the blue and orange, that's a terrible job by you.
I did it to appeal to the masses of Knicks and Met fans.
Islander fans are ticked off.
I didn't even catch it.
No, I thought it as I said it too, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave him out. Islander fans were mad at Sean last week for excluding or putting Lou Lamoriello too low on the power rankings of general managers.
Only they can bash him, by the way.
So I was like, you know what? I'm leaving the Islanders out. I'm just going to include. I included the Knicks.
I know.
I was being a good guy.
But you upset Islander fans today. Well, I got several tweets.
I don't know if it makes any Islander fan feel better. I did it on purpose. Mm. I just wanted to appeal to the masses.
So that makes them, feel better because you are the ultimate in trolling, and so by doing
I wasn't it on, trolling them. I
by
was
doing
to be...
it on purpose, you make them feel better because you didn't really mean it.
Exactly.
Oh, I see.
You figured it out.
I got it.
Bingo.
I got it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.